Good morning, a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. And Alan, today, an editorial in the New York Times, Mr. Trump's deportation force prepares an assault on American values. These new rules from the Department of Homeland Security, as they put it, bring a major shift in the way the agency enforces the nation's immigration laws. However, the Trump administration's detailed plans to deport millions of Americans, apparently, they say, won't lead to mass roundups. Certainly, one word is clear, and that is fear.
That's right, David. And it is not only in the United States, it's worldwide. I'm reading in the paper this morning that a Canadian poll has shown that the Canadian people, despite Justin Trudeau's encouraging remarks about resettlement, have some real doubts, and his popularity has gone from the 50s into the 40s. So we see this immigration thing in Brexit. We see it here in the United States. We see it in Canada. People are sort of saying, pull up. Not all people, of course. People are saying, you know, pull up the gangplank. I'm here now. That's one thing about pulling up the gangplank in the future and walls and things of that kind, if that's what the Trump administration is going to do. But if they are talking about getting rid of millions of people, it's going to exacerbate the tension that exists in the federal structure in the United States. And by that, I mean we have state governments, which are supposed to be sovereign. We have the federal government, who's supposed to share sovereignty. And yet, there'll be guys walking around trying to round up from ICE, the enforcement agency, trying to grab people. And when that sort of thing happens, we saw some of it in the Obama administration. People disappear. They literally on the streets one day, they're put in a car and they're gone. So now you'll have the spectacle of individuals who decide that they will put people up. They'll hide them. And that, of course, could lead to real trouble for the people who do that. And yet there are people of conscience who believe that that's what you do. In the Second World War, we saw some great heroes putting up Jewish people. It was against the law to harbor them. And many people lost their lives and were imprisoned because they did it. So I think we're going to see some of that coming in this country, too. And then the question will be 5 years from now, 6 years from now, will those people who tried to do right according to their moral precepts, will they find themselves as heroes as so many of the people who hit Jews in the Second World War did also? There are people who take exception to the analogy, but believe me, I've met a lot of people of conscience who believe very deeply that what Trump and his people are doing is just wrong.
After some pressure, President Trump yesterday called anti-Semitism horrible and painful, Alan, after drawing criticism in recent days for failing to speak out against the rise of anti-Jewish threats since his inauguration. We've even seen it in our region and in a few places, including the JCC here in Albany. But it's not only anti-Semitism, but racism in general, and some of these acts are up for sure.
Well, there's no question. There are many people who see the Trump rhetoric as being the cause of all of this, and that the people who voted for him are more likely to be on that side. Now, I have to say that the Jewish groups that I've been reading about in the papers have been rejecting this out of hand and saying it took him too long. He's doing it because he has to. It's a political move. And I tend, of course, to agree with that. It took him too long. All he had to do is say in the very beginning, we are mindful of the anti-Semitism that has happened in the past, and we reject it out of hand instead of relying just on the fact that his daughter had converted to Judaism and was married to a Jewish man.
Finally, Alan, town halls, town meetings. We saw Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat, engage in a town meeting. The Times Union in Albany editorializing about Republicans, including Congressman John Faso and Elise Stefanik from New York, and not holding town meetings. And we see the president lashing out at these so-called angry crowds in home districts, saying they're liberal activists. This is sad.
Well, let's reject Trump for a moment. Let's put him aside. Let's talk about the wisdom of having town meetings. Look, Paul Tonko led the way. We interviewed him on the Congressional Corner yesterday. Look, much of his district went for Trump. And so, therefore, he knew, as people have known with the Tea Party in the past when they loaded town meetings and set the way for all of this happening. He knew what he faced, and yet he did it. I think it's clear that you can do it. If you can't, as a congressperson, aren't allowed to say your piece or to react to what a question is and are shut up, then you have a right to say, okay, I tried. But if you don't, and if you are rejecting town meetings, then what happens is you have people who properly say, you're avoiding us. That's the whole idea of constituency, and the House of Representatives is supposed to be closer to the people. I think it's important that we listen to each other. I think it's important we have those town meetings. But on the other hand, I think it's also important that the people who are at the town meetings are respectful.